People of God, would you please turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. I'm going to read for us this morning beginning at verse 6, and I'll read through verse 13. Revelation 14 beginning at verse 6, and I'll read to verse 13. When you get there, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Stand with us, whether you're here in the building or at home. Please stand as we read God's Word together. Revelation chapter 14, beginning at verse 6. Hear now the reading of God's word. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." Another angel, a second, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, she who made all nations drink the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality." And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, these worshippers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name." Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." This ends the reading of God's word. Will you join me in prayer? Indeed, Father, we give thanks to you for your word. And we need your word. We need your word, Father, because as your people, we come here in various stages in our life, various places in our hearts, some celebrating and rejoicing. And we give thanks to you, and your word gives us words to praise you, to worship you, to direct our thanksgivings to you. So, Father, for all of our victories, all of our thanksgivings, all of the blessings that we recall this morning, we give to you and say thank you for answered prayer, for connection with loved ones, for your grace. We also come, Father, in need of your word because of the broken places in our heart, our places of fear, our places of anxiety, our places of pain. And we bring those to your word. Would you bind up our broken hearts? Father, we pray especially for our family this morning as we have seen death impact several of our families. Beth Dunn's mom, Wilma, died. Stephen Barb Smith's friend, John Hack, died, leaving behind Melinda and her family. Others have died, a brother and an uncle. And Father, as we confront death and our hearts grieve, would you bind up our wounds? Would you hide us in the shadow of your wings? Would we hear your songs of comfort as you sing over us? Would you give us courage that we might grieve, not as those who have no hope, but those who hope in the resurrection? Bind up our hearts with your word. For our anxiety, Father, Angelo in the hospital and friend of the Armstrongs, and the anxiety of his wife, Jennifer, not able to be with Angelo. And those in nursing homes, we pray for Sharon Carter. We pray for Kendra, who works in various nursing homes and has seen the virus impact them. Father, as anxiety and fear and even death confront us, would you give us courage from your word? Give us strength from your word. Bind up our hearts. And now, Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand. Cause us, Father, here in your word to know you more, that we might love you better and so love like you love. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, if you've joined us for our series of Revelation, maybe in the middle, in the last several weeks, or maybe for the first time this morning, we are actually concluding our study of the book of Revelation today. We began last fall with the letters to the seven churches, studying chapters 1 through 5. And then for Christmas, we jumped to the end of the book. We had our Advent series called The Future Christmas, where we looked at Jesus' second advent, his second coming. And then in January, we picked back up with chapter 6, and we worked all the way through chapter 20, covering the whole book, finishing last week. And so this morning, our last Sunday in the book of Revelation, I want to use our time together to review the book, to summarize what I think are the most important things for us to remember. And I've chosen Revelation chapter 14 because our theme verse for the book came out of chapter 14, verse 12. Here's a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. I've summarized what I think are really the most important things for us to remember from the book of Revelation. I put those thoughts together in a little handout that we've emailed out. If you didn't get that and you want one, just email the church office. We'll be glad to forward that to you. And so I want to start this morning by reviewing some important keys to remember as we try to read the book of Revelation. My hope is that you will go out from our series and continue to read the book of Revelation. So a reminder of a couple keys. Of course, we need to remember this is apocalyptic literature. It's not a familiar genre to most of us. Most of us don't learn how to read apocalyptic literature in school. It's not like reading history. It's not like even reading poetry. This is a specific type of literature. And it has its own set of rules for reading it. Some of the things to remember when reading apocalyptic literature include it's not chronological. Right? It moves in cycles. It uses images to tell the message. But friends, we got to remember these images, they'd all be understandable to the initial readers. We shouldn't look for hidden references to helicopters, for example. But rather, we look backward, back to the Old Testament, in order to understand the images. So when you see locusts in Revelation, when you see rivers of blood in the book of Revelation, these are references to Egypt, to the plagues, for example. And these images, they include numbers. Numbers are part of the message of the book of Revelation. They also look back to the Old Testament. Numbers, as we've said throughout the series, they're to be taken seriously, but not literally in apocalyptic literature. These are just some of the keys for reading the book of Revelation. But I think the most important one is this. Remember the pastoral purpose. This book was written to followers of Jesus who were suffering persecution under the Roman Empire in the first and second centuries. I think we have to keep this in front of us as a foundation for reading the book of Revelation. These Jesus followers, they were losing their homes. They were being kicked out of cities. Some of them were arrested. Others were beaten. Many were killed simply because they worshiped Jesus instead of Caesar. This book was written for suffering, hurting people. It's a pastoral book. It's a shepherding book. And it calls God's people to faithful endurance until the end. Faithful endurance, even unto death. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus Christ. And Revelation calls God's people to faithful endurance primarily, I think, in two ways. First, by teaching us how to respond to crisis and catastrophe. Second, by revealing to us our true enemies. Again, Revelation calls us to faithful endurance by teaching us how to respond to crisis and catastrophe and by revealing to us our true enemies. And so this morning, as we review and summarize the book of Revelation, I want to look closer at these two points, responding to crisis and catastrophe, revealing our true enemies. And we begin with looking at how to respond to crisis and catastrophe. And the first thing I want to say is when we try to figure out why bad things happen, right? When you're in the midst of crisis, catastrophe, and we want to know why is this happening, when we start to try to get after why bad things happen, things get really complicated really fast. So, for example, we begin to consider bad things in our life and say, well, of course, God is sovereign, right? He foreordains whatsoever comes to pass. He governs and preserves all his creatures, all their actions. He rules over all things, all times, all peoples. And yet he also allows evil to have power for a time. Can you see this? This starts to get really complicated, doesn't it? God is sovereign, but he allows evil to have power. Even so, we continue to think he uses the works of the enemy to accomplish his purposes, even to pour out his wrath upon sin. And yet the Bible tells us he's neither the author of sin nor causes anyone to sin, and sin itself brings its own consequences. This starts to get really complicated, doesn't it? Trying to figure out why bad things happen, it can start to get really complicated and even discouraging. But how we ought to respond to crisis, to bad things, I don't think that's complicated at all. And we see this in the book of Revelation. We see how we ought to respond to crisis and catastrophe. In the first place, the book of Revelation makes really clear that non-believers, those who do not follow Jesus Christ, when they die as a result of crisis and catastrophe, they perish into eternal darkness and into eternal suffering. You can see this in our text, Revelation 14, verses 9 to 11. This is the eternal end of those who reject Jesus Christ. It's an end without rest. And this weekend in particular, Memorial Day weekend, an extra day off, three-day weekend, everyone rushing to try to find rest. But for non-believers, for those who do not follow Jesus, their eternal end, it's one without rest. Eternal torment and forever darkness. And so, when we're in the midst of crisis, when we're in the midst of catastrophe, for those who don't follow Jesus and do not die, those who remain in this life, who live through times of crisis and catastrophe, those hard things, that crisis, that catastrophe, it's a trumpet warning. It's a warning call. It's a call to repentance. It's a come to Jesus moment. You know this expression, don't you? Right, come to Jesus moment. We use this to talk about having a hard conversation with someone. When we confront someone about the way that they're living, confronting someone about the choices they've made, the way they're acting, the way they're relating, we talk about having a come to Jesus moment with our loved ones. The book of Revelation tells us crisis and catastrophe, they are literally come to Jesus moments. The book of Revelation, it teaches us how to respond to crisis and catastrophe, how to respond to bad things, to hard things in our life. For non-believers, for those who don't yet follow Jesus, crisis and catastrophe, hard things in life, they are come to Jesus moments. And for believers, for followers of Jesus, they are calls to faithful endurance. So look at verse 13, Revelation 14, verse 13. For followers of Jesus who die in this life, followers of Jesus who die in this life, their souls are raised up to Jesus. That's why Revelation chapter 20 calls this the first resurrection. The souls of believers who die in this life, they are raised up to Jesus Christ. And there with Jesus, chapter 7 of Revelation says, they serve God and they reign with Jesus. Chapter 20 tells us they reign with Jesus, and chapter 14 tells us they rest from their labors. They rest from their fight with sin. They rest from the sufferings of this world and this life. Followers of Jesus who die in this life, they live and reign with Jesus, and they rest from their labors while they wait for Jesus to come again. But for those of us who remain here on earth, for those of us who live through crisis, who live through catastrophe, who live through hard things, these hard things, crisis and catastrophe, they are calls to faithful endurance. That's our theme verse, verse 12 of chapter 14. It's a call to faithfulness and a call to endurance. When bad things happen, there are trumpet blasts for us too. Trumpets of warning. Hear the call, people of God. Stay faithful to Jesus and persevere until the end. Because if you do, you too will live and reign with Jesus. And you too will rest from your labors. Catastrophe and crisis are calls to faithful endurance. And part of this call, this is the second point this morning, part of this call to faithful endurance, it comes through revealing to us our true enemies. It comes through revealing to us our true enemies. So in the book of Revelation, one of the ways that God calls us, one of the ways God equips us for faithful endurance is by showing us who our true enemies are. And they are four: the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, and the prostitute. The dragon, the beast, the false prophet, and the prostitute. And so let's review each of these quickly this morning. First is the dragon. This is an image from Revelation chapter 12, and it's used to describe Satan, that ancient enemy of God, the serpent, the deceiver. And he hates God. He's been trying to destroy the seed of the woman ever since the beginning. You remember when our first parents sinned and God gave a promise that one day there would be a seed, one day there would be a descendant who would crush the serpent. He's been trying to destroy that seed from the beginning, that promised child, the Savior Messiah. And yet Jesus came, he died, and he rose again, conquering the dragon. And now he's furious. And he turns his anger against Jesus' people, against you. He hates you, and he's hunting you. The dragon is the first enemy. The second is the beast. In the book of Revelation, the beast variously comes up out of the sea or out of the abyss, but we meet him most fully in Revelation chapter 13. And remember our keys for reading the book of Revelation. When we see an image, right, don't look forward to the future. Look backward. We ought to ask, where else in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, have we seen this image before? And we've seen the beast in the book of Daniel. From the book of Daniel, we learn beasts like this, they represent world powers, governments and nations and rulers and authorities. And the point that Revelation makes for us is this: Satan uses world governments to attack the church. The dragon uses the beast. Satan uses world governments to apply pressure to the church. This is the second enemy. The third enemy is the false prophet. Also called the second beast, we meet the false prophet also in chapter 13. And just like all false prophets throughout the Bible, the false prophet represents competing truth claims, false religions, false philosophies, false saviors, false truth claims. Satan uses lies to deceive the world. He's the great liar. He's the great deceiver. It's who he is. It's what he does. And we see that through the false prophet, the third enemy. The last enemy we meet in the book of Revelation is the prostitute. And there's a ton of text space in the book of Revelation devoted to revealing to us the seduction of the prostitute. In many ways, I think she may be the most dangerous enemy facing us. You see her in chapter 17, chapter 18, part of chapter 19. She's called Babylon. She's called a prostitute. And she represents the seduction of culture. She represents the love of money, the pursuit of pleasure. And Satan uses her to try to seduce us away from Jesus by making promises of power, promises of riches, promises of pleasure and happiness. She is the world, and she's so dangerous because she's so attractive. That's the fourth enemy, the seduction of culture. You see, the book of Revelation, it calls us to faithful endurance and equips us for faithful endurance by revealing to us our true enemies. The enemies of God, the Apostle Paul says, the enemies of God are not primarily flesh and blood. It's not other people. Our enemies are spiritual powers. The enemies are the dragon who uses world governments and powers and structures, his lies through competing truth claims, through false truth claims, his seduction through the promises of money and power and pleasure. People of God, these are our enemies. And to see them, to recognize them, is to pursue faithful endurance. People of God, this is why we need this book. I urge you, keep reading the book of Revelation. With these keys in mind, if we read the book as it was intended to be read, it's a book of comfort. It's a book of encouragement. It's a book that calls us to faithful endurance. The book of Revelation, it's not a book primarily about predicting the future. It's not designed to tell us when Jesus is going to come back. It's primarily a word of encouragement to suffering, assaulted people. It's a book calling us to faithful endurance. And it calls us to such faithful endurance by teaching us how to respond to crisis and catastrophe. Hard things in life, crisis, catastrophe, they're trumpet calls, warning blasts that call us to come to Jesus, call us to faithful endurance. Only those who endure until the end will live and reign with Jesus and enter his rest. Revelation calls us to faithful endurance by teaching us how to respond to crisis and catastrophe. And Revelation calls us to faithful endurance by revealing to us our true enemies, the dragon who hates Jesus and his people, world governments and powers and structures, the beast, false and competing truth claims, the false prophet, and the seduction of culture, Babylon, the prostitute. By revealing to us our true enemies, Revelation calls us, Revelation equips us for faithful endurance. So hang in there, people of God. Hang in there. Stay faithful and endure. Wait for the Lord because he will indeed come again. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we give thanks to you that in your goodness and your kindness, you call us. And you equip us, that you equip us for faithful endurance by giving us your word, by revealing to us the end of those who don't put their faith in you, by revealing to us the end of those who do, by revealing to us our enemies. You equip us by giving us your word, by giving us prayer, and by giving us the sacraments. And so we give thanks to you, Father, and we ask indeed that you would equip us by your Spirit, that you would keep us till the end. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.